minutes after 5 South African time. It's the 5th of Dhulqa'dah, 1442. Let's welcome Ustad early this Wednesday morning. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussein. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the 5th of Dhulqa'dah, 1442. And with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verses 18 to 21. Many a time people pose this question, what happens to Muslims who do good deeds? So our answer is, فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. When the Muslim executes a righteous deed, then he's rewarded in this world, that's a bonus. And if he or she passes away with Iman and Islam as a Muslim, then they will be rewarded the optimum, maximum reward in the year after. But what about the non-Muslim? You get so many non-Muslims, they are philanthropic, they are so generous, they have good character, but they pass away and die as non-Muslims. So Almighty Allah addresses this very question in chapter 14, verse 18, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, the example of those people who lived as non-Muslims and they were sane and mature and they passed away in that state and condition as non-Muslims. Why does Almighty Allah set forth and give examples in a noble Quran? Almighty Allah answers and informs us, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. These examples we give to people so that لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, so that they must wonder, ponder and reflect over it. It is for all times, all places and all circumstances. Chapter 59, Surah Hashr and verse number 21. So this example is not only for a specific time or a particular place, nay, all times, all places, all circumstances. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, the parable, the example of those non-Muslims who died in that state and condition, they are sane and mature. بِرَبِّهِمْ, they rejected Almighty Allah, their Rabb, their sustainer, who nourished them, sustained them, provided for them. أَعْمَالُهُمْ, hence their good deeds also. كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ. Some days when you go outside, it is such a stormy day, the wind is blowing. So that is their example. Karamadin ishtaddat, you have ash. And now, you know, when I was very young, I used to sit with the machinglan. I don't know if you know what is machinglan. Machinglan is the night watchman, and he used to make the bola. So the bola is the fire they would burn outside the house, outside the shop. And we would sit and talk, you know. He would tell us his stories. We would find it very interesting. And in the morning, you will just see ash around there. Karamadin ishtaddat. So remember that this ash. Karamadin ishtaddat bihi rih. And then a violent and a strong wind came. Fi yawmin asif. On that day. That day where it was a stormy day. And the violent wind came and everything got scattered everywhere. Naam nishantak nahi. There was no sign of any deeds. La yaqdiruna mimma kasabu ala shay. Hence, those people will not have any power on any of the deeds that they perpetrated, they executed, they did. So everything haba ammanthura, as mentioned yet in another place, it will be scattered all over the show. So hence there will be no reward for them in the year after. Whatever reward they got was they received in this worldly life. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And there is no share, there is no portion for them in the year after. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الضَّلَالُ الْبَعِيدُ. That is for those people, remember, who are gone far, far astray from the path which Almighty Allah chalked out for them. Take today, we just take round figures, 7 billion people on this planet Earth. 1 billion, which is exaggerated actually, but nevertheless, 1 billion Muslims and 6 billion, remember, non-Muslims. So what has happened? The 1 billion decided, we will follow the path of Rahman, the path of Almighty Allah, which He chalked out for us, and sent the best of the best. The best in the creation is Prophet Muhammad Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The best of the best is the constitution, the noble Quran, and the noble example of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is what Almighty Allah's favors ever recurring showering upon us. But the 6 billion decided, we don't like that, we don't love that, we're going to oppose it, reject it, fight it, and so forth and so on. Allah forbid. And they followed the path of Satan, they followed the path of Shaitan, they followed the path of Lucifer, and they went far, far astray from the path which Almighty Allah chalked out for them. So Almighty Allah is warning this human being. You might think that you are the greatest scientists, professors, doctors, whatever. Alam tara, what don't you see, O human being? Anna Allah khalaqa as-samawati wal-arda bil-haq. That He alone, Almighty Allah, created the heavens, the earth, the entire cosmos, the entire universe, bilhaq, truthfully. If that sun had to come near a few kilometers, we should be roasted and toasted. Remember, if the weather conditions were not as they are, we all should be dead. We should be frozen to death. So everything with perfection, look at the sunrise, look at the sunset, look at the seasons. So that is sunnatullah, the system of Almighty Allah. But sometimes, occasionally, Almighty Allah highlights Qudratullah. He shows us, remember, His absolute power. When I was in America, Canada, 2000, and then 2001, the beginning, I was there at Niagara Falls. It was 1st of January, 2001. It was 18 degrees, and we just ran away from there. So cold, we never experienced anything like that in our life. So Almighty Allah gives us some samples and examples that is my Qudrat and that is my power. And you go there to Siberia and Russia and where, minus 40, minus 50, Allah forbid. So Almighty Allah is teaching us a lesson. Human being, you're not doing me a favor by worshipping me, by accepting Prophet Muhammad Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the last and final messenger. You are doing yourself a favor. And in my majesty, my authority, my sovereignty will never diminish. So when a person remains a Muslim, embraces Islam, he's doing himself a favor and not doing anybody else a favor. So therefore, Almighty Allah warns us, إِيَّشَعْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ. If He decrees, if He wills, Almighty Allah, He'll remove you in a split second. One earthquake, one earth tremor, finish, we're all gone. وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. And Allah will replace you with a new creation. How many a time we saw that thousands of people just disappeared from the face of this earth. An earthquake came, an earth tremor came, and thousands of people gone history. وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And that is not difficult for Almighty Allah. For me and you, for kings and rulers, prime ministers, president, we have in our vocabulary the word impossible. Write this down and believe in it. For Allah, there's nothing impossible. He does whatever He wants to. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. He has power over everything. What will happen on the day of justice? If you just look at our politics, micro, macro, everywhere in the world. وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. The people will be brought forth from their graves, and wherever they are, they drowned or they were cremated, everybody will be brought forth in front. فَقَالَ الدُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. Those who are the followers, the weak ones, they will tell the proud and the arrogant ones, the leaders, Inna kunna lakum taba'a. We were your followers, we voted for you. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Can you defend us now from the punishment of Almighty Allah, even the slightest bit? Min shay, the smallest amount, can you defend us? Look at the punishment. We are suffering. Qalu, look at the arrogance. Look at the pride of the leaders even then on the day of justice. Qalu, law hadana Allahu lahadainakum. If Almighty Allah guides us, then we will guide you. Imagine, even then they want to blame Almighty Allah. If Allah guides us, instead of saying, yes, we must lead you, we are the guilty party, dhallu wa dhallu. This is what today the gay brigade does, that you tell them this action of gay business is unnatural, they will say, but God created us like this. So this is the fallacy and the weakness of human being, that instead of admission of crime, that they will apportion the blame to Almighty Allah. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. That's worse. So law hadana Allahu ladainakum sawa'un alayna ajazina am sabarna. And now, irrespective, it is equal for us whether we cry, we sob and weep and so forth, or we exercise patience. Ma lana min mahis. There is no exit for us. There is no escape for us. So brother, sister, child, student, every day beg Almighty Allah for ourselves, for our marhumin. Ya Allah, grant us Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Protect us and our marhumin and our deceased who passed away with Iman and Islam from Jahannam and the Hellfire. Quickly, three announcements. Today they tell us it's Youth Day in South Africa. Remember, for us as Muslims, every day is Father's Day, every day is Mother's Day, every day is Youth Day. So read about the youth and their contribution to Islam. Tomorrow, Thursday, between 11 and 12, with Mona Zahid Khan, I'll have that program. Go read about Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, the beloved Nawasa, and Sibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved grandsons. Go read about Usama ibn Zayd. Go read about Sultan Muhammad Fatih. Go read about Ashab-e Kahf. Go read about Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Go read about our flowers and our children in Palestine. They take on the army, that and the army runs away with Iman in their heart and stones in their hand. That are the youths, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Second announcement, remember today will be with Mohan Arafat Atiyah, inshallah al-Aziz, between 11 and 12, bliss of marriage. And third one, our respected Mohan Salim Kareem, Allah reward him and his family for the wonderful sterling service he's rendering to the Ummah. We will contact Mohan Salim Kareem. Last night, before I sleep, I always listen to the news, you know. Maybe there's something breaking. So they said in the news last night, 10 o'clock, you know. I heard it on BBC, if you want the reference. So they said people are rushing now in their thousands to Ladysmith in the village there, and they're looking for diamonds. Maulana Arafat, me and you better go there. So you must remember that there was a diamond city in South Africa. It's called Kimberley, the holy city. The holy city, H-O-L-E. But now it looks like Ladysmith, N-K-R. You understand? So the N-K-R got a nice joke also. In one mosque, they wrote the N-K-R, no kitab reading. So anyway, you must remember that. So let us go on. So they say these diamonds coming out there, and the geologists and a lot of the professors are going, and the people are picking it up. This is Allah. I tell you quickly a story. If you know Zimbabwe, there's a place called Mutari. And people just started picking up diamonds. One chap came for Hajj from Zimbabwe. I told him, you're spending thousands. He said, I picked up all the diamonds free of charge. I have to spend the money now. Allah. So imagine how they pick. So Allah alone knows whether it's true, whether it's false, whether it's just a propaganda. But things are happening there. So we'll ask our Mawlana, respected Salim Kareem, to put some light on this topic, inshallah.
Sister Lillian says that, sir, so then what happens to all those horrible soldiers who are killing our children? And then they say after years, they want to accept Islam. Are you telling me God will forgive them? That's what I was told. I mean, that's not fair. Isn't God must punish them? I know Islam is a religion of peace. Sister Lillian Ustad.
Excellent question, my sister. You must be very careful, my sister Lillian, who you ask your questions. You must ask that person there who told you that ABC person embraced Islam and owes him 100,000 rand, 1 million rand. So are you saying that when he or she embraces Islam, then all the sins are forgiven, including hukukul ibad, the rights of human being? So that person whose name was Tom, Dick and Harry, so you must say, oh, Goldstein or Goldberg, you know, they like the Goldstein and Goldberg and what have you. So you mean he embraced Islam, he does not have to pay you the money? So obviously he has to pay. So remember, if a person from the Israeli terrorist army embraces Islam, the crimes he or she committed against Almighty Allah, that is forgiven. Inna al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. Quran says, kullil ladhina kafaru iyantahu yukhfallahu ma qad salaf. But the crimes they committed against humanity, that is not forgiven. That is a civil matter. If that family, that person wants to forgive, they can forgive. And if they want to take him to task, they will have all the right to do so. Islam, my sister Lillian, is not only a religion of peace, as you say. Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin, Inna Deena Indal Islam. It is a religion, remember, of justice as well.
Subhanallah. I see a listener says, Ustad, Mufti Saab, I am a security guard. I work outdoors all night and wear a balaclava which covers my entire face except my eyes because of the cold. I make fajr on the paving. Is it permissible for me to have my entire face covered while reading Fard Namaz, Ustad?
Remember, my brother, I just spoke about you just now. I said that we have the night watchman. In those days, I don't know now, because things evolve and change, you know. But those days, when I'm speaking of 60 years ago, and maybe more also, we used to call them machinglan, you know, stood the night watchman, security. And remember, you wear the balaclava. I know that very well. We used to sell that in our shop and so forth. So what you must do, my brother, is this. Get nicely, you know, nice thick clothes and so forth and so on. And if it's very, very cold and so forth, and you cover your whole body and so forth, because you must remember of the extreme cold, so it is permissible. However, in normal circumstances, it's not permissible. There's a hadith, a hasan, a good hadith, mentioned in Ibn Majah, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words are, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ayyughatti ar-rajulu fahu fi salat. Is not permissible for a male to cover his mouth and face and all that in salat. So out of salat because of the wind and that. But yeah, it's matter of law, like life and death. It's so cold and minus and so forth. So then it will be permissible as a last resort.
I see Brother Eric says, I'm back with you this morning. I want to know, sir, what is the difference between your God and my God? We both believe in one God, right? Eric, Ustad?
My brother Eric, welcome to the show, my brother. Remember, my brother Eric, there's only one God. You must open the Noble Quran, chapter 1, and see the beginning. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, God, the Supreme Being, the only Creator. Rabbil Alameen, He is the sustainer, nourisher, provider of the entire universe and creation. Alameen means everybody, everything besides Almighty Allah. So there's only one. But the problem with you, Eric, is, and your people and your ilk, Now you went to eight other things. You started saying that, you know what, Jesus is the Son of God. Then you started saying about Trinity. So now you took that out. So I am posing this question to you, Eric, to stimulate your mind. Then you can think about it. Go ask your pastor, priest, or your pope and see that. If you say Jesus, hypothetically, we reject it totally, that Jesus is the Son of God, he's part of the Trinity, but Jesus was born, you said. Jesus was born on 25th December, which is a lie also, but nevertheless, we carry on. So how was God running the entire universe without one portion being there? What happened when Jesus died, according to you, which we reject? During the Easter holidays and in the Holy Sepulchre, he was buried. And Mary Magdalene came that Sunday and the tomb was empty. So how come God is born, God dies, all that? Did you think about that? So we say you must read chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 and so forth. And you must read chapter 112. Very short, my brother. Chapter 112. Who is Almighty Allah? Who Allahu Ahad, he is one and alone. Allahu Samad, totally independent. He does not need anybody, any creation, anything at any time, any place. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, he's not the father of anyone. He's not the child of anyone. There is no partners, no associates for him. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. I read the whole thing for you. There's none equal on par with Almighty Allah in any aspect, in any respect, in any dimension. So remember, my brother, you say you believe in one God, but your actions are totally contrary to that. You have associated sun and ghost and this one and that one, which makes a mockery of it. Therefore, we say the only monotheistic faith in this world is Islam, not Judaism, not Christianity, nor anything else.
Ustaz, listen to this one. Your nanny says, I have parrots and pigeons. There is a wildcat who come in my house, Mufti Saab, and kill them. Mufti Saab, I have the right to kill the cat. Today the cat will see. Ustaz, nani.
So you must remember that you're doing a good deed, that every day you are feeding the pigeons, you are feeding the parrots, you can give them a nickname also. Ya Aba Umair, Ma Fa'al An-Nughair. There was a young Sahabi, and his name, Ya Aba Umair, his kunya agnomen, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu's brother, and his bird and parrot, whatever you want to say, passed away, died. So Nabi alayhi salam was, is, will always be only rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the entire universe. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam wanted to cheer him up. He was very sad, my bird died. So Nabi alayhi salam asked him, what happened to Nughair? So now, Nani, Daddy, what you want to do? You want to set a trap for the cat. So remember, you can do that, but don't torture it. You must remember that, because it's harming your birds. You see, after Fajr, when I come back, so I go to our Marcus Sahaba airport. When the small children come here to my house, I ask them, you saw my airport? They're wondering what I'm talking about. So I got two tires, you understand, outside. One tire, after Fajr, when I come back, I pour water. In the other one, I put the bird food. And then when I come back upstairs, I look from there. Then you see the birds coming. All directions, and they don't have suburb, you know, and they crash. There's no parking place for them, you know. So they're so hungry, and they stood there on the gutter, they're all watching, like, when can we land, you see? So we call that our airport. So very good you are doing, Nani. Inna Allah katab al ihsan ala kulli shay'in fa'idha. So what you must do, that whenever Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, that you must do good to every creation of Almighty Allah. So if you are going to kill the cat because it's causing them harm, permissible. But remember, you're not allowed to torture it or to be inhumane to it.
I see Jonathan says that, AK, have you ever been to Israeli? And did God ever put that fear in your heart when you saw the soldiers of Israelis? Be honest, Jonathan Ustad.
My brother Jonathan, you must remember, I've been there more than you. I've been there 5 times, understood? And never did I show fear to them, because we are Muslims. We only fear Almighty Allah. So, and they recognized it. But they, how many times they interrogated me and so forth. And you know how they interrogate. that they will place a male or a female, and behind they got their people who can see me, but I can't see them. We know their tactics and so forth. So I'll give you once. You must remember that lady was interrogating me. She's there and I'm there, and not far off they have one guard there. But they take your phone, they take your pen, they take your watch, everything away. And I know behind that they have people watching, right? So she, the lady, told me that if we allow you to go inside, what will you tell the Palestinians? That's the question she posed to me. So I said, I don't have to tell them anything. They all know their history. I will tell my people, I had 60 people plus with me, I will tell our people the history of Palestine. So she just looked at me. My brother Jonathan, we don't have fear for anybody. Alhamdulillah. You must remember that. And least of all, your apartheid, terrorists, rogue regime, crooks of the first order who stole the land of Palestine. Yesterday they had the flag march. Look at yesterday, Jonathan. That they say they were, I heard BBC, that's why, you know, I told you about the diamond story in Ladysmith. That's why I was hearing it every hour like. So you must remember, they say, this is BBC, they said that there were 1,000 or just over 1,000 people who took the march, you see. And they say they annexed the land. To annex the land is against international law. You must use the proper word. You must remember the occupiers. You must remember for more than 50 years. They are crooks, you must remember. That's what it means. And remember that what they did, they marched. But there were 2,000 police. Sure. See the fear Allah has put on you. So you got 1,000 people marching, but you got 2,000 police. I don't know if you've been there, Jonathan. Do you know Khalil? Do you know Hebron? That you got few hundred settlers. We say one settler, one bullet. And you quote me wherever you want to, Jonathan. So we say every settler deserves one bullet. That is what Islam teaches us. They got few hundred, you must remember, settlers in Hebron, Khalilur Rahman. And remember that they got hundreds and thousands of police roaming around there. Why? Because you are the one who live in fear. Not we. We are people who have Iman and Islam. So we only fear Almighty Allah. You are the last people. You will see your jutlas and your army. They will never walk alone. They even fear the children and the flowers of Palestine. What do they have? They have faith in the inner recesses of their heart, and they have stones. And you will see the jutlas. Jutla mean your people, the Jews. You must remember, they will walk 5, 6, 8 of them together. So much fear, because this is all in the Quran. Allah has put so much fear in your heart. You are the biggest cowards, you must remember that. And Allah will punish you till the day of Qiyamah. Chapter 7, verse 167. Write that down, Jonathan. Chapter 7, verse 167. You will be punished till the day of justice.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Ellen says, so what is the price of blood money, sir? Can a price be fixed on a human life? Ellen, Ustad.
My brother Alan, Islam is a religion of peace and justice. But peace is the end result. Before that, you must have justice. So justice must be the precondition and the precursor. So justice will lead to peace. Remember that. Not you come and steal our land, you destroy our mosque, you come and rape our woman, and then you say you want peace. No, we will never accept that. There must be reparations. There must be court cases. Netanyahu and his other comrades must be sent to prison. Amen. So that is what we want. Remember that. There are many others also. Okay, now let me explain to you how Islamic law works. ABC person comes and he left his home with the AK-47, and his intention was to kill that person, premeditated murder, homicide, call it whatever you want to. And indeed, he killed that person, he murdered that person. So that person cannot speak, he's dead. So his heirs, his family have five choices. So this is Islam. Islam will say it's a civil matter. So you, the family, when it's premeditated murder, can demand a life for a life, provided them, the heirs, reach consensus on that. Second one, they say that fine, we don't want life for life, we want diya, blood money. So that is the value of 100 camels. So we will say over million rand in South African currency. It can be 2 million also, depending on the fluctuation and the camels and what have you. So just to give you an idea. The third one, we will tell him, fine, we will not go for life, we will not go for blood money. You see, you got a nice house, you got a nice car, so give us that, and then the matter is forgiven. You call that sulha, and that is the third option. We reconcile with you, Rabbi, provided you give us some compensation. Fourth one is, we forgive you. Finish, we say, no, you know what? That you killed my brother, you killed my sister, you murdered them, whatever, but we have forgiven you. So that's your choice. And the fourth one is, we just leave it. We say we are too, you know, hurt, and too much pain you have caused us. So we leave it for the day of justice, and Almighty Allah will then let He will pass the verdict on our behalf for you. So look at the justice system. You show me in America, Europe, South Africa, any country, if you can bring a better system than what Islam has brought. Never ever. Because man-made system always have limitations, and the Islamic system is always the best, and therefore we share it with the rest.
Allah, one more, Ustaz, one more before you leave us, inshallah. Krish wants to know, yeah, he says that, so how come we non-Muslims, we are allowed in Palestine, in Hebron, in Aqsa, but we're not allowed in Saudi? Could you please explain to me, Krish, we'll start.
So you must remember, my brother Krish, you know that Palestine, always the non-Muslims were allowed in the golden era. Make a note of this, my brother Krish, quickly, I got 1 minute left. 636 is the Gregorian calendar. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came and he signed a mithaq agreement with Sofrianus, the leader of the Christians, and in that agreement it was mentioned that your churches, your monasteries, all will be protected. My brother Krish, Sofrianus, the Christian leader, said, Allah yusakina ahadun min al-yahud fi Iliya. No Jew must be allowed to stay in Jerusalem. Proposal came from whom? The Christian. Then Sayyidina Umar, our leader and great scholar and leader, he accepted it and they signed on it. Go to 1187, after 88 years occupation, the Holy Sepulchre, the greatest church for the Christians, the keys, they handed it over to Saladin. From 1187 till today, the keys are in the hands of the Muslims and not in the hands of the Christians. Go check all this up. Regarding Mecca and so forth, you must remember that is our markaz, our headquarters, so therefore we don't want it to get polluted, and therefore we say they are not allowed to come there. You know that your army, where all your secrets are, nobody is allowed all there. So remember, I can't go, you can't go. So therefore, every country has certain places. When I was in America, I went to White House, United Nations, I told a person, take me to Camp David. So when we went to Camp David, that chap was panicking, you know. And then we saw a board. You better turn from here, otherwise we'll start shooting or something. So I told him, now you turn. So you see, so they won't allow you just like that. So every country has this, my brother Krish.
Ustaz, we leave it there, inshallah. We will be seeing you 11 to 12, inshallah, Ustaz.
Inshallah, inshallah. Bless of marriage between 11 and 12. Jazakallah khair.